Dr. Salman Abu Sitta is widely considered the world's leading authority on the Nakba. He is a groundbreaking researcher and spokesperson for refugee affairs, and among other projects, has initiated architectural competitions that have generated detailed plans for the return of Palestinian refugees to their own villages, with minimal or no displacement of existing Israeli communities. He is the founder and president of the Palestine Land Society and the general coordinator of the Right of Return Congress, and has served as a member of the Palestine National Council. He is the author of several books, including an acclaimed autobiography, Mapping My Return, a Palestinian Memoir, published in 2016, The Comparative Atlas of Palestine, and several other detailed studies and atlases, all of which is accessible for research and/or purchase via the Palestine Land Society website, plands.org. He comes from the village of Al-Ma'in, whose spring well bears his family surname, located in the Beersheba district. As a boy, he was made a refugee in the Gaza area. He holds a PhD in civil engineering from University College London. His Canadian connection includes 10 years of teaching at the University of Western Ontario in London. This lecture, which I'm about to read, was delivered by Dr. Abu Sitta on February 23rd, 2021, at a launch for the new Palestine Land Studies Center at the American University in Beirut, in a webinar organized by the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. 11 Wars Against Palestinians: How Palestinians Are Coping with Their Elimination, by Dr. Salman Abu Sitta. It often comes to mind how I am ashamed of future generations who will read our history in the 20th and 21st centuries and wonder how we, in this age, could live with so much injustice, so many war crimes carried out for so long without remorse or remedy, with so much deception, so many falsehoods, so many lies. Such lies could have been verified by bringing up easily found facts if, and only if, these facts were allowed to be known. My country, Palestine, had been stricken by two devastating attacks in the last 1,000 years, appropriately described as barbarian for what they have done. Both came from Central Western Asia and Eastern Europe. Both caused unbelievable death and destruction. Both got help from Western powers hostile to us. One was defeated soundly, the other not yet. The first was the Mongol attack led by Hulagu Khan. In 1258, they reduced Baghdad to rubble. They destroyed its houses, palaces, and mosques. They killed 200,000 people, possibly more. They destroyed valuable manuscripts in the House of Wisdom and threw them in the Tigris River, its waters turned black with ink. They plundered and looted everything in sight. They forged an alliance against us with Frankish European crusaders. They were finally defeated at Ain Jalut near Baisan, Palestine, on the 3rd of September, 1260. The second attack is the Haganah attack, led by Ben Gurion in March of 1948. They came roughly from the same area, Al-Khazar, north of the Black Sea, Eastern Europe. They destroyed over 500 villages and towns, including 150,000 houses. They plundered and looted the houses, the businesses, the banks, and public properties. They committed 156 massacres and atrocities. They killed tens of thousands, and they made millions homeless, which they remain today. They did not destroy documents, but looted them and used them to seize land, properties, banks, schools, hospitals, railways, airports, and seaports. They forged solid alliances with Western powers, particularly the UK and the US. They are not defeated yet, but they will be somewhere in Palestine. It is still with us. It is waging many kinds of wars against us, if not many attacks. These attacks by land, air, and sea have not stopped for 26,626 days. The first kind of war is military, to conquer and seize the land. It is a war we all know about in name, but not about its extent and purpose. It is a war in which the Haganah forces, composed of 120,000 soldiers, mostly trained in World War II, organized in 9 brigades, entered a land they had not seen before and carried out 31 military operations in the space of about 8 months. In this period of time, 560 Palestinian cities and villages were attacked and emptied of their people, making refugees of two-thirds of the Palestinian people. There are now 7 million today. Half of them were expelled before there was something called Israel, before the British left Palestine, and before any Arab regular soldier entered Palestine. This is the enduring Nakba. The second type of war which followed is silencing the voice of the victims, denying that they ever existed. In 1948, about 5 dozen major massacres took place. None was reported by the 5 Western news agencies at the time, except perhaps Deir Yassin, and then only lightly. Reports about the most horrendous massacre of Al-Dawaima in October 1948, in which up to 500 people were savagely killed, was called, quote, a figment of Oriental imagination by the Israeli UN representative Walter Eitan. Another Israeli settler, Tzipi Hotovely, recently installed as Israel's ambassador to the UK, called al-Nakba, quote, an Arab lie. Mention of al-Nakba is actually outlawed in Israel, and it took 4 decades for some courageous historians, including Ilan Pappé, to expose the truth. This truth is still denied in many U.S. universities at the pain of cutting off their funding. The third kind of war is geographical. Our Atlas of Palestine, 1917 to 1966, lists 55,000 names carved by the people about their life and places. The Israeli maps eliminated all of them and replaced them with 6,800 names created by a committee. In Israeli maps, Palestine does not exist. The fourth type of war is historical. The historical record of Palestine in the last 2,000 years is obliterated and made blank in Israeli textbooks, in the Zionist-controlled media, and removed from controlled websites. It is replaced by the history of settler Jews who arrived in Palestine after World War I. 2,000 years of Palestine history, for which historical edifices are still abound, are totally deleted from the record. Not only our history is erased, but our living traditions of dress, food, and songs are expropriated and claimed to be that of the invader. The fifth war is archaeological. The destruction of about 500 Palestinian villages in 1948 and 1949 was carried out by bulldozers of the Jewish National Fund and Public Works. A strange team accompanied them. An Israeli archaeological team supervised the demolitions and ordered the destruction of any historical buildings or structures unless they were found to be useful for claims of Jewish history. Their work destroyed Byzantine, Arab, and Islamic monuments and structures in these villages. Those wars are converting evil into a virtue. I borrow that idea from a forthcoming book by Sari Makdisi entitled Tolerance in a Wasteland, Palestine and the Psychogeography of Denial. Let us imagine this for a minute. How did the Palestinian landscape look like after the destruction of hundreds of villages? A pile of stones where a house once stood, the lone standing wall of a mosque, the cracked bell tower of a church, a marble piece of grave epitaph. This evil scene has to be hidden. So it was covered up with trees, woods, forests planted by non-Indigenous trees. This cover-up was hailed as a campaign of making the desert bloom. Hardly any leader in the Western world or a city thereof in which Jewish communities have had influence was not immortalized by a park name or a tree. And who was doing this? The Jewish National Fund, JNF, which directed the Haganah operations to attack villages. JNF seized the land of 372 villages. Their people now live in refugee camps. The JNF is a registered tax-free charity in 41 countries meant for, quote, the improvement of the environment. Even George Orwell would fail to beat that. The sixth type of war is political. Next to the military war, this is the most effective. The U.S. and many Western countries vote against UN resolutions condemning Israel's crimes and violations of international law. They thwart any legal action against Israel. The actions of the departing Trump are supreme examples of trampling upon international law. Very likely there will be more little Trumps in the West. Though a pleasant surprise came on Friday, February 5th, 2021, when the International Criminal Court admitted the obvious that Israel is liable to be tried for its war crimes. Let us hope it will not be aborted. The seventh type of war is religious. God is recruited to win this war. Zionists claim that they have the right to return after a 2,000-year absence to the God-given land, recover their property, and expel the natives. The evangelists, Trump's main supporters, and the former restorationists of the 19th century are recruited to support Zionism with great effect in the U.S. The eighth type of war is defamation. Palestinian fighters and supporters are called terrorists. Edward Said was called a professor of terror. Anyone who explains the facts about Palestine, even among respected scholars or UN officials, is called an anti-Semite. The Zionist-inspired IHRA document is pushed for adoption by UK universities with limited success. It is an open season, however, for the defamation of Palestinians. The ninth war is about lawfare. Domestic law in some Western countries criminalizes support for the grassroots campaign of boycott, divestment, and sanctions, and hence any attempt to criticize Israeli war crimes and apartheid. There's a witch hunt in Germany against any mention of Israeli crimes against Palestinians, even by Jews like the artist, the Jewish artist Nirit Sommerfeld. The 10th type of war is economic. Jewish financial power in the United States, supported by AIPAC activity, is a potent force. Trump cut UNRWA funds. Israel strangles the economic conditions in the West Bank and converts the people into economic hostages. The Israeli-imposed blockade of Gaza for 15 years now is making life unlivable, according to the UN. The aim, of course, is for the people to demand bread to live instead of the right to live free. The 11th type of war is the most sinister of all. It may be called attritional genocide. The Convention on Genocide includes a clause stating that it is a coordinated plan aimed at the destruction of the essential foundations of the life of national groups. In 2018 and 2019, during the Great March of Return in Gaza, Israel injured 35,600 protesters. Out of those, 6,750 were hit deliberately by Israeli snipers, shattering their bones. Today, you can hardly find a street in Gaza without the sight of a youth with an amputated leg. The attacks by poisonous gas in Gaza and the West Bank led to deformities in newborns with increased incidences of Down syndrome. Now Israel is denying vaccines to Palestinians in the occupied territories. This is not to speak of demolished homes and uprooting trees. These sinister acts lead to the disability of a whole generation, imposing a huge burden on their families and on the economy. The outcome is a shattered society incapable of living normally, let alone fight for their rights. This is a genocide of the living. Nothing like this array of wars in colonial history. Of course, there were colonial cases of more savagery and more people being killed or driven away and more territory seized, but never before has there been such a wide-ranging scale of different wars pre-planned and executed by well-organized troops and groups conducted not from one metropole but from many Western countries where centers of power there aided and abetted these wars. All this was not in the age of bow and arrow, but in the age of planes, telephones, and TV. Not in the age of pirate ships and free-scale savagery, but in the age of the United Nations and Reuters agency. Not in the remote, unknown, uncharted continent, but in a venerated ancient country, the cradle of Christianity, to which many of these Western countries belong. Will this venture succeed? It did in part. Will it continue? Let us observe some facts. The people of Palestine at the time of the infamous Balfour Declaration were numbering 700,000. At the year of the Nakba in 1948, there were 1.7 million. Now there are 13 million. In the year 2030, there will be 18 million. Half of them are still on Palestinian soil, living under occupation and apartheid rule. 85% of the other half are on the borders of Palestine, within walking distance of their homes. The remainder are scattered in no less than 100 cities around the world. Conclusion: the Palestinian people are here to stay. They will not go away. Can they return? Could this unique tragedy end? The international law is solidly behind them. Resolution 194 has been affirmed 135 times, more and longer than any resolution in U.S. history. We realize that international law is no more than an expression of good conscience. It can be a tool of the powerful to strike the weak. Nevertheless, it is the conscience of the masses. When they speak, they have a powerful voice. Against international law, Zionism built a solid wall of several layers. The first, occupation. There is not a single square kilometer in Israel acquired any time by legal means, not one. All has been obtained by collusion, mostly by brute force. Two, apartheid. Now there is no need for Israelis to pretend otherwise. Israel proclaimed the nation-state law in July 2018. B'Tselem's report of December 2020 confirmed apartheid in all of Palestine, whether occupied in 1948 or 1967. Before both of them, the UN ESCWA published its report on apartheid Israel in March 2017, and it was buried. Three, racism. At least 55 laws are applied against Israel's Palestinian citizens. Four, war crimes. Many treaty-based conventions have condemned Israeli war crimes. Now all of this is before the International Criminal Court. This solid wall, the edifice of occupation, apartheid, racism, and war crimes, can this wall be breached? It must be. There can be no peace without it. Here are some hopeful signs. The past 100 years witnessed two major world wars, many regional wars, and the demise and abolition of racism, apartheid, fascism, Nazism, formal communism, the end of colonies in Asia and Africa. They have all vanished except Israel. We Palestinians move from a vague appellation of Arab refugees not related to a country to our recognition by securing a seat at the UN, recognized now by 138 states. Our young did not forget. Many are in an imposed exile in dozens of cities in Europe and North America. In a modern diaspora of Palestinians, they are professors, lawyers, scientists, even at NASA, media experts, yes, including at CNN, economists, bankers, some extremely successful. They all have the components of a successful Palestine, an old country reborn. Except they are still refugees denied their right of return home. Now they have a weapon, the weapon of truth, which should be liberating the occupied minds in the West from a long history of misinformation, falsehoods, and deception. This effective weapon does not need tanks, airplanes, or millions of lobby dollars. The soldier in this new world war is the intellectual. That is, the person who knows the truth. It is you and me and millions of other people. It is you in this institution. It is us at the Palestine Land Society. This is a war to liberate the minds of the uninformed, the cheated, the deceived, and the silenced. The person of knowledge, the intellectual, should he take up his duty or shirk from it? Edward Said tells us about those who shirk from their duty. Quote, "Nothing, in my view, is more reprehensible than those habits of mind in the intellectual that induce avoidance, that characteristic turning away from a difficult and principled position which you know to be the right one, but which you decide not to take. You do not want to appear too political. You are afraid of seeming controversial. You want to keep a reputation for being balanced." I guess and I hope there are many who will not shrink from their duty. They know that the power of knowledge is supreme, lasting, liberating. Let those who know speak up. Let the innocent and the pure cry out, "The emperor has no clothes." Let a map of occupation silence a lying politician. Let facts about brutality save a child from being shot on his way to school. Let an image of brutal soldiers save a woman on her way to hospital from dying at a checkpoint. The task is great, but doable. That is where you, we, all of us in institutions of learning come in. I have faith, unshakable faith, that the march of justice will reach its destination. In spite of all this overwhelming power against defenseless Palestinian people, it has not succeeded over 7 decades to break their will or to demolish their spirit. Their dispersion in the world carried with each one a candle, shining truth in the darkness about their fate. Yes, candles' light is small, and the power of darkness is much greater, but let there be many candles everywhere, held by every person of conscience. They will win. No power can suppress the struggle of the human spirit for freedom. So let us all work together so that Palestine's people will be free.
تسكن البيض والربا والرمال وهواك ليس يغفو الجمال هما في الروح شعر وخيال مر كالطيف وزاد. آه يا أمان، أين جرح العود يا أخت الصباح؟ شفاه الورد والثغر الوطاح، ذكر عهد لي تراءى وراح. آه يا أمان يا أمان، جرح العود يا أخت الصباح.